Oh shit. Oh shit. It's going off now.
Highway Diaries. What's going on, motherfuckers? I'm here with my main girl, Heidi Lux. Gillian. Now you're married.
Heidi Lux.
Heidi Lux, fabulous.
I'm an independent woman. This is the 90s. I ain't gonna have no man hold me down.
On Facebook, it just seems like there's a dash Gillian on your name.
Well, I removed the dash because it was confusing.
So now it's your middle name is Lux. Your last name, Gillian?
My middle name is Elizabeth. My last name is Lux. Legally,
mm-hmm.
And then to show solidarity for my bro,
yeah.
I have the Gillian there, like in honor of him,
mm-hmm.
But it's not official. Like if I'm filing my taxes.
Oh, you just added a different name.
Yeah.
So if you have more husbands, you'll just get more names.
Yeah, you know, solidarity.
You know, like in the Mexican culture, people just whenever someone dies, they just take that person's name. So
yeah.
You'll be like Heidi Lux, Gillian, Smith, Frank, Todd, you know, whatever.
Well, not Smith. Who never marries Smith.
That's true. The blue bloods are not your, I don't know.
So lower class.
So,
I mean, where's the breeding in the last name Smith? That could come from anywhere.
A lot of Smith have genetically retarded genes, and you could have a Down syndrome baby if you procreate with the Smith.
You don't know. I mean, for example, if you marry, you know, for instance, a Windsor, you know you are marrying royalty.
That is a pedigree. And exactly like a pedigree dog, the royalties are inbred and retarded.
Exactly.
And have big floppy earlobes.
But at least you know you're getting retarded when you marry a Windsor. With a Smith, you could get retarded. And if you do get retarded, it's the wrong kind of retarded.
It's like the recessive genes that when they flare up is like real retarded.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't come with all of the money to take care of it.
That's me. Sorry. Our cell phones are blowing up right now. You know why? Because...
We made fun of the retarded.
Well, this hasn't been posted yet.
Oh.
What has been posted is Damien Shadow's PI Webisode 1. I'm sitting here with Hawkeye. You might remember Heidi Lux as Hawkeye, the crazy witch that we investigated.
Yeah.
How did you prepare for that role?
Well, I'm pretty method. I went to NYU, mm-hmm. Tisch.
Mm-hmm.
Credentials
out the
yeah,
ass.
It's not, I'm just mentioning that just so you guys know, kind of like if I had a big dick, I'd just randomly pull it out and show it.
Right.
So that has actually nothing to do with how I prepared. I'm just saying.
You just have penis envy.
I went to NYU.
You
want
to pull out a big dick and go, this is what my college dick looks like. It wears these colors.
Yeah, I'm pulling,
on its fucking sweater vest.
Pulling out my giant purple college dick. Anyways, I prepared diligently for the role. You know, I conjured on my, no pun intended,
uh-huh.
on my experimental theater training that I got at NYU.
Mm-hmm.
At NYU.
Wow, there's like another inch of purple dick right there.
It just goes on forever.
So, we have a long history. Not everybody knows this. We've known each other 10 years. I was crunching the numbers.
That is insane. I cannot believe that 10 years have gone by that fast.
We first met UCB Level 1,
mm-hmm.
you know? Mm-hmm. I was like 17 or something. You were 18 or something?
I had just turned 19.
Okay.
Yeah, I was studying at NYU in New York.
Oh, that's another half inch of dick. Yeah.
We're going to bring out one of the balls, too.
Whoa, you are balls deep up in me with your big NYU college dick. It's uncomfortable.
Hurts a little, but...
But yeah, so and you had a dorm room, and your roommate at your dorm room wasn't around, and I freaked out because my high school girlfriend broke up with me after our level one show.
Yeah, I was staying in New York in the dorms over the summer because I just did not want to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living... There were two sweet-ass weeks where, like, it was transitional housing, where the summer people go away and then the regular people haven't come in yet. So I had like this like huge dorm in the West Village, like, all to myself for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then you came and, like, tried to ruin that by staying with me.
And I was all moody and emo and crying and just, like, crying into my omelets and stuff. I was not, but you were a very gracious host, yeah, and my therapist. So, yeah, we've been friends ever since. And then, you know, we both have found our way out here.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, those were the years where I thought I was Holden Caulfield. And when a destructive romance happened, I took a taxi to a train at 6 a.m. and then took a train from Hackettstown, New Jersey to New York City. And it took about 2.5 hours. And I was, like, you know, on public transit with my little fucking side satch filled with tissues, crying and writing my fucking dreams in my journal.
I have to applaud you for being brave enough to even take public transit.
Oh, yeah?
I would never.
Don't you drive around in your NYU dick car?
I do. It looks like a giant purple penis.
And there's a trolley that goes around New York City that's just for the shelter.
Just for NYU.
The sheltered little privileged yuppie fucks.
Oh, no. We don't want our children taking the subway.
This bus is run on my dad's money.
And now there's bicycles that you can rent.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not free bicycles?
I think they're free for NYU, but, like, free is in quotes because you're paying, like, now, like, $90,000,000 a year.
Yeah.
So they're free in theory.
Mm-hmm. So you just moved out here. You moved out here, and then you actually left your husband in Clearwater for a minute.
I did. So then you
stayed with me. There was a transition living period for you. Yeah. How was it? It was quite a struggle to, you know, start up your dream and, you know, go after it in LA.
It was. You know, I'm a working girl. I'm just kidding.
You get all the best NYU jobs. Are you going to be a big purple bus driver out here for the NYU kids who move out to LA before they run out of daddy's money and go back home?
That would be amazing if there were that kind of shelter out here as well. Yeah, now I moved out here a year ago and have been making my way, much like that one girl in that one movie.
Oh, I love it. She's so inspirational.
I know. I love
because
it.
You're like, you're rooting for her.
Yeah, it's like that.
But she's
girl
got big dreams. And it's like, you don't know what you're up against, girl, but I'm with you.
Yeah. You, like, yeah. She's like everybody. That girl is like, she's me, she's you, she's like the guy on the street. Like, she could be anyone.
When you're watching that movie with that girl from that movie, you're like, did someone steal my journal?
Exactly. And she's played by that actress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
feel like, no, honestly, I feel like Lena Dunham, but on the West Coast.
Very specific,
like,
reference.
Girls is like my life.
Uh-huh.
But it's not, but it totally is.
It's really hard, actually. A year and a half ago, I had to switch roommates. And, like, I was in this one place and I was in a transition. Okay.
Can we say why you left the place?
Can we say why what?
Can we say one of the things your landlord
did? Uh-huh.
It was like,
oh, he peed?
He was peeing. His landlord was peeing outside, like,
landlord
in their yard.
Yeah, next to an orange tree.
Like, and then, a dog.
And then I was worried that the oranges were going to be filled with his pee water.
Oh, my God.
Because the tree absorbs the pee water, and then you're eating oranges. Pee oranges, you know?
And you can't tell because they're already orange.
I don't want that tree to filter. You know, I don't trust that tree to filter all the pee out.
Yeah, it's not going to. It's not a Brita.
But I was actually between two places. And before I lived there, I was living in this place with, I was living in this back room. And he said, because I got there and the room wasn't ready. I was supposed to have my own room, but it wasn't ready. There was someone still in there. And he told me that the guy would be fucking out by then. So I'm living in this back room, and this guy's daughter is, like, totally on meth and running in and out of my room, 15 times at like 4 in the morning.
That's
and
so weird.
One of which she was topless for, and just and then screaming, and then the and then her dad, who was in the back, she was just banging on a shed, and he was like, "I will call the police. Fuck you. Go away. Go away. I will call the police." Then the next day, he was hiding from me, like, in the bowels of his shed. And I, like, broke into his shed to go and go, okay, last night was fucking crazy. And he goes, what are you talking about? He completely ignored the fact that any of that happened. Anyway, so my point is, it ain't easy to find a place out here. I also called one other place. I saw this Craigslist ad. It was, like, in my neighborhood I wanted to live in, $600. It was a room available. And they said meatless kitchen. Like, meatless kitchen, what the fuck does that mean? So I call the guy, I'm like, are you saying that if I have a hamburger outside and then I have the wrapper, can I throw the wrapper in the fridge if I didn't cook meat in the kitchen? You know, and he just started going, meat is murder, and started screaming that.
Oh my God.
So then I hung up, but meat is murder, really. Like,
yeah.
A mountain lion should be locked up. He's a murderer. Fuck you, PETA. Anyway.
So funny. Yeah, I feel like in LA, it's common. We're giving you, like, the dark side of the dream here.
Yeah.
Where a lot of, especially comedians, it's, like, really common to have a dude living in the same room as another dude, like, on mattresses, on the floor. Like, I can name at least 3 friends who have done that, who have lived on a mattress, on a floor, in the same room as another dude.
Yeah, Eminem was rocking it like Trey Parker and Matt Stone were rocking it like that. You know, you got when you're making your dreams happen, you can't always have a day job, you know?
Yeah.
Not you, you're a working girl.
I'm a working girl.
Stand up.
Yeah.
We've both been kind of making the transition from improv to stand up a little bit. And I saw your stand up was very improv influenced because you're like playing characters.
I do.
Tell me about your stand up.
Okay, well, I have an improv background, and I have, I don't know if you guys know this, but I have a theater background, because I went to NYU.
Whoa!
Yeah!
Oh, your purple dick on my ass.
It's all the way, it's all the way in, it's coming, it's starting to come out.
I'm just being filled with fucking NYU jizz. Just a frothy foam, just... That loves itself, you know, it's very, like...
I feel like I want to take this time and clarify something. I do not, nor have I ever had a penis.
Mm-hmm. Nor have we ever had sex with each other.
Yeah, we've never had sex with each other either.
I don't know
either.
If that we are, I mean, we're platonic friends. And we are kind of horrified by each other's, as a sexual being.
Yeah, So, Grandma Hollerbach, we have not had sex. I went to his house for Thanksgiving one year when I was a sophomore at university.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
New York University.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard of it. Go on. Yeah, but
Adam Sandler, Molly Shannon, Alec Baldwin.
Oh, wow. There are just
Scorsese.
Like, it's almost like there's like extra rings around your dick now of just
it's
name
like
drop
a
rings.
A cat dick with spikes that grabs into you, doesn't let you go matter how hard you struggle.
What an esteemed university. There's so many names to drop. Anyway, you were at my house.
There's more to come.
You were at my house for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and your entire family thought we were dating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, we were not.
I came to visit you. I was crying for a bit. We played improv games. We went to improv shows and just butted out. That's it. Yeah.
And we had, you spent the night over. We went out to brunch in the morning.
Yeah.
We window shopped at antique stores. Like, there's nothing romantic about it. I don't understand.
I gave you a makeover. But yeah, tell me about your stand-up, though.
Okay, so, yeah, my background is in theater and improv and more, like, scenic-based comedy rather than, stand-up, like, traditional stand-up where you're saying, like, this is punchline joke or you're telling a story or whatever. You're directly communicating to the audience. I kind of like to put up a fourth wall, makes me feel comfortable, like a blanket.
Yeah, or, you start by saying, okay, we are in a country club, and I have just delivered this brunch speech in front of the investors, and, you know, and then you kind of set up the scenario, and then you go into this character, and it's just different. It's kind of a fun thing to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I have, you know, the skill set to, you know, just be like a Jerry Seinfeld kind of guy, like, what's the deal with tampons?
Right, right, right.
Or whatever. So I, you know, it's kind of like I'm adapting the skills I've already developed into stand up. You know, like I'll do a routine, like I have a bit with a sock puppet, and then the way I wrote that is like it's a it's game based. Like at UCB you learn the game of the scene. So I have the sock as another character with this game of teen suicide.
Mm-hmm. That's a good game. That's,
yeah.
Nothing brings a party like teen suicide.
Yeah.
Just as a comedic subject.
Yeah. So that's where my influences lie. And that's,
doing comedy about teen suicide, have you like been getting lots of laughs and then one like really loud cry from the audience?
Yes. and then I'll, you know, occasionally see an audience member run out, hear a loud, like, it sounds like fireworks, and then all of a sudden, sirens.
You've been knocked out by someone in the audience, or what are you suggesting?
They go run off and kill themselves.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. That has never happened. I've not been responsible for anyone's death yet, at the time of this recording.
Who knows? But yeah, I mean, I find... I did this thing in college one time. It was a short play called I'm in Constant Pain, and it was about a kid who won the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Oh, no.
And, like, so his thing was he wanted to make a play, but he had a terminal brain cancer. So his whole play was about a kid in hospice care going, ow! Ow! And as soon as the play started, one girl was just like, just gathered her stuff really loud and just really loudly walked out of the room.
Oh my God.
And it's like, here's the thing. If you're offended by stuff, that is there's a deficit in your mind. That means that you are too stupid to understand that that is
a joke.
And no, and nothing that anyone can outside say should hurt you. It's not directed at you. These are jokes that, in a play setting that's being performed, if you're highly offended by it, take it in and then examine your own feelings of what made you offended and what... I just think listening to people who disagree with you are having radically, you know, I don't know, I just fucking... People think that, like, you know... Their sphincter, you know, curls up, and then they're like, that sends a signal to their head to be like, feel justified in scowling. This is offensive. I'm going to write a letter. And then they get dopamine receptors go off in their head, and they've done fucking nothing. This is what critics have done. Nothing.
Science, here's your assignment. Find the link between an asshole clenching and somebody feeling self-righteous. Forget chemicals in the brain.
Yeah,
Find the chemicals in the asshole.
For being offended. I think it's a butt clitoris. Everyone has a butt clitoris that twitches up when people are offended, and then it sends a signal to their brain to go, I'm justified. I'm right. I'm the moral compass. No, you're not. You're not adding to anything creative. It's so much harder to make art than it is to get your fucking butt clitoris all tangled up in a knot and go, I don't like that.
It's true. It's so true.
Why don't you try to make fucking stuff?
Anyway. Yeah, you do it.
butt clitoris, man.
I tend to do a lot of dark stuff, and I think maybe I might, to be all pretentious here, I think because I'm a woman, it's easier for me to get away with a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm joking about rape, I can do it. Because if I'm walking down the street, there's a threat of me getting raped. Where if Daniel Tosh does it, it's like, well, also, I mean, he was kind of offensive. I would never be, like, there's a difference between a joke and
screaming, you should get raped.
But if
I think, I don't know, I see it as when you're on stage with a microphone, anything that person says, you shouldn't be offended by it. You should just weigh it against your own boundaries. And if something's really annoying you, you can, you know, get up and leave. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
It's just the making of the show of it and forcing people to apologize.
Yeah.
It's like, do you know how hard stand-up comedy is? Do you know how terrifying it is? And the only way to do that is to push the fucking boundaries.
Public speaking, that's the number one fear.
Exactly. So, it's the hardest thing ever. So, don't get people to apologize for their art of talking nonsense. Because that's their art.
And there's a lot of, horrible stuff that happens in the world. Like, a 5-year-old was kidnapped and raped and put in critical condition. And then the police, like, tried to cover it up in India. So, that, like, shit like that happens. So, but it's, like, as a way to cope with it and make life a little bit better and more bearable, you kind of have to joke about stuff. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, rape sucks. Like, it shouldn't happen, but it does.
And
so
you don't know
not...
who that 5-year-old was leading on, too.
Yeah, she was asking for it. wearing her little jumpers.
I know. Her curls that her mom put in her hair.
Play
her
with
mom
the dolls.
Was dolling up rape bait and sending it in the... I have no idea the circumstances of this, but yeah, you know.
But you kind of have to, like, have that where you can take a step back from it, or if, like, the situation is so ridiculous, you have to be able to take a step back from it and just look at it and laugh at it. And it is therapeutic to be able to do that. And I feel sorry for the people who get so offended that they can't do that. They can't take a step back and laugh at something.
And in World War II, Bugs Bunny cartoons were knocking, racist depictions of Japanese people over the head with a fucking shovel. And nowadays, it looks really racist. But in the time, it was actually, like, taking something that was very scary, which was this enemy, this people who did Pearl Harbor, and turning it into something silly and knocking it over the head.
Yeah, because there's a real threat that you can be bombed by the Japanese.
Yeah.
And, just to take, to just laugh at that, to laugh at that stress of, like, we could... get another Pearl Harbor can happen tomorrow. It is therapeutic. And yeah. I mean, you shouldn't, and there's a difference between laughing at something and honestly being racist. Like, there is a difference.
But also, like, hindsight is always less racist. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure our behavior, the way, like, 100 years from now, they'll be like, oh my God, and, like, judge it so much worse.
Yeah.
Anything I've done and calling me racist, just because it seems like everyone in the past was a racist. You know what I mean? Except for very few exceptions.
It's true.
So it's like we're only getting better and better. So then from 200, I don't know. I just think, don't judge things. Just look at art objectively and go, well, okay, this is what was going on. But
and
just,
before you call somebody else racist, just think 20 years from now. 40 years from now,
mm-hmm.
you too will be the racist.
Yep.
I just blew your mind.
What? Improv game. Woo-woo!
Dun-dun.
I have to burp. Hold on. Oh, I ate too much chicken before I came here.
I'm professional.
Party supplies is the suggestion.
That was an explosion. Okay, so you hide, we'll hide in the, like, behind the couch.
Okay,
and then when he comes in, when Daniel comes in, she's like, y'all, like, surprise.
Okay, yeah.
Like, surprise, you're 40. Get used to it.
Uh-oh.
Or something. Yeah.
Just, like, put it in.
Yeah.
You're over the hill.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to be 40, so it's funny.
Yeah,
if we're
yeah.
like, oh, you're fucking 40. Everyone else is still in their 30s.
Oh, and I've got this styrofoam gravestone to, like, hold up, like, a probable, like, real, like, when he might die at, like, 80.
Yeah, like, an actual, like, you took, like, the calculations online where you can find out when somebody's going to die based on their lifestyle habits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it gave me a pretty... So I'm going to be like, hey, you're going to fucking die.
Of emphysema because you smoke, retard.
Yeah, around 2051... Fuck you. Happy birthday.
Oh, man. This is the best. He's going to love it.
Yeah, so let's just hide in this behind this thing. So well, what are you going to shout in his fat old face when you, you know?
Okay, so because, like, we're hiding behind, like, a futon.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say, like, surprise, we were behind the futon that you still sleep on at 40. 40.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you're the roommate who's not going to amount to anything.
Yeah. You're like half a step up from sleeping in the same room as another dude.
I know. Daniel, you're living the life of a artist without making any art or having a job. Daniel's,
yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
We're going to surprise him. He's going to love his birthday.
Oh my God, this is so funny. This is so...
Hey guys, what's going on?
Surprise, you fucking loser.
Yeah, fuck you. You have emphysema. I hope you die. So you're married now, as we mm-hmm. said. You're married life. You're a domestic goddess. Yeah. You're buying the groceries. You're washing the vegetables. You're cooking around the house. You're upkeeping. You're... filling your husband's head with sweet little nothings. Mm-hmm. How's married life?
It's pretty great. Yeah, it's fun. I've been married for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think three. yeah, 3 years.
Uh-huh. Well, you're up on all the anniversaries.
yeah, well, I guess we'll be having our fourth anniversary.
Sometime.
This year in September.
Uh-huh.
Around the 18-ish.
So what are each of your roles in the house? How does that break down?
Well, we're a modern married couple, so we're equals.
Swingers.
No, equals. no, we are not, please don't, Facebook me, hey, you want to,
Hashtag swingers.
Yeah, no, we're not.
Hashtag ball sweat.
Because I've been approached by swingers before.
In LA, it's LA.
No, this was in Florida.
Oh, okay.
I feel I feel like LA gets, a rap for, you know, all this, bad shit, but I feel like there is more in Florida.
I think Tampa, Florida, that is the mecca of swingers.
Yeah, it's, the strip club capital of the world. Magic Mike takes place in Tampa. Surprised.
I said this on the other podcast, Fudge House Rules, that, in Tampa, there's so many, key parties that if you're around the neighborhood with all the people that you swing with, you just put, your car in someone's mailbox because that's the closest mailbox. It's like, I fucked your wife. We're getting, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just everything's communal.
Yeah, everyone's friends. Everyone knows each other. Everyone knows how their wife feels.
But you're not swingers, so what is that lifestyle?
Well, it's kind of rough.
Uh-huh.
No, it's not. It's great. Actually, side note, going back to that, I have a friend who is from Clearwater Beach, which is a more affluent part of the area where I'm from because it's on the beach. So people have second houses and stuff and a lot of doctors live there. And he found out when he was older that his parent in his neighborhood, all of the other parents were swingers. And then he's like, were my parents? And then his friend was like, no. So he narrowly escaped his parents being swingers because mm-hmm. the entire neighborhood, everybody else was swapping wives left and right,
mm-hmm.
which is gross because nobody's attractive in Florida. Kathy Black, the president or whatever of Hearst Magazines, the CEO or the big chief of Hearst Magazine says the secret to a happy marriage is marrying a man who can cook. And I know that because she told me that personally
mm-hmm.
at a table where we were sitting out with five other people at the Metropolitan Club in New York City.
Wow.
So it was personally to me, but to the entire table.
It seems like there's another inch of dick right there for your credentials. Keep track at home. It's like a 13-inch purple credential dick that Heidi has pulled out on us.
Metropolitan Club, NYU. For those who don't know, the Metropolitan Club is a really swanky private club in New York City.
Don't the higher levels of the Metro Club, it's just like a sex cult?
Not that I know of. No, because it's all Eyes Republicans.
Eyes Wide Shut style.
It's all Republicans.
They're the worst.
No.
Yeah, you think that they can tell gay people not to get married all day and then not have, a deviant lifestyle?
Republicans never have sex.
Plugs that you want to... how can people find Heidi Lux, sometimes Gillian, sometimes Fabulux? How can they find you?
I'm on Twitter, at Heidi _Lux.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me tweeting about how I'm crying in Whole Foods.
Uh-huh.
And I'm on the Facebook. If you want to friend me, I will probably not take your friend request if I don't know who you are.
Yeah, I got a YouTube channel. People can get on your viral network empire.
I wish I had more. I should really get my shit together. This is embarrassing.
Well, see,
I have a Tumblr. It's Heidi. It's either Heidi. Oh, I don't even know it.
Look, if you have one Twitter, it's like, you know, just do that good. People just spread themselves too thin over Instagram, Vine, Facebook. You know,
yeah, just
it's too much
just
these fucking days.
Just follow me on Twitter.
Yeah, that's
trying
the one.
To get more followers.
That's the one you put effort into.
Yeah.
Check out Heidi Lux on the first web series of Damien Shadow's PI playing Hawkeye, Crazy Witch.
Yeah.
And your character there, her powers were so powerful that the apparitions in your house were being amplified through your magic.
Yeah. Hawkeye, because I like to refer to my character as me. So me, Hawkeye.
Very method of you.
My powers got so strong that I couldn't control it.
Mm-hmm.
And my house, not my actual house, my Hawkeye house as Hawkeye, me, the character.
So many layers, so many meta levels. Do you know what actors have to go through to go in and out of those realms?
It's hard because actors are not smart. And then we have to, on top of that, we have to be a person who's not us and make that different and understand that it's a different reality than what is now. And it's hard to juggle all those balls when it's like you can't.
And that,
I mean, numbers are confusing.
That wasn't very well said, but you're an actor, so you're not very smart. So it's like, what do you expect?
But at the same time, people think it's deep.
Right.
Because I've said nothing, but I've said something.
You just, like, went around the world in a rhetoric masturbatory circle jerk.
Oh, my God. I wish when I was in New York going to NYU...
Whoa.
One of the things I wish I did was keep a journal of all, like, the ridiculous shit people said. Because I heard...
overheard NYU.
Oh, my God. Please, somebody start that Twitter right now. Overheard NYU. Do a sub-Twitter overheard Tish.
Mm-hmm.
Sub-Twitter of that overheard Tish drama.
Oh, there's a lot of Tish drama going on. Drama for your mama at that school?
Drama department. You have no cup holders in your car.
Yeah.
What is this?
Here, there's one right back here, actually.
I feel like I'm in India. There's no cup holders.
Nor toilet paper.
I mean, you can only imagine, you guys,
the conditions
listeners,
that you're in.
I am drinking an Italian espresso, and there's no place to put it.
Sorry.
This is embarrassing for me.
So, what have you overheard at NYU? What kind of drama is going down?
Okay, so this is, like, one of my favorite quotes after somebody did a performance piece, this girl was like, I felt like you gave me a gift, and I opened the box and saw what was inside, and that was your performance. And I'm really glad that you did not include a gift receipt, because it fit perfectly. Thank you.
That's just a self-aggrandized metaphor for I like the performance.
Yeah.
It's just that is what you've said, but you went around the clock just sucking yourself up. Just loving every word that you say.
But
you're like, oh, listen to me talk so pretentiously about.
In her defense.
Okay.
The NYU dick is really big, so it's really easy to put it in your own mouth.
It's really long. It's got a lot of names on it.
You don't even need to bend over. It just kind of, like, falls in sometimes.
Into your own mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just open your mouth, and there it is. In real life,
we never had sex.
Virginity.
No, we're very repulsed by each other's bodies.
Just the fact of him saying that, I vomited into my Italian espresso.
Yeah, I want to hear also an overheard NYU hashtag that big purple bus that goes around.
The trolley? I never took the NYU trolley because I preferred walking, but I lived in a dorm where it was like farther away, so it had a trolley going to it.
Mm-hmm.
Also because my crush walked to campus, who lived in my building. So sometimes I didn't know this is I didn't do this, but
you may have done some stalking, and if you did, it may have looked something like this.
Okay, here's how I would do it if I did, not saying I did, but maybe it happened a couple of times. We had a class at the same time on campus and on the same day, and if I wanted to time it right, I could get in the elevator with him at the same time and walk to campus together. That could have happened. It did, once or twice. Not on purpose, but if I wanted it to, it could have been on purpose.
Here's a different segue question. What is with comedians and comedians' late bloomingness into being proficient lovers? Seems like all comedians are like super introverts, or there's virgins for a long time.
Yeah.
You know,
I know Tina. Yeah, I feel like, see, with me being like a late bloomer in that department, it's like I lost my virginity at around the same age as Tina Fey, and she's doing okay.
Right. Like, you're in an elite squad.
So, yeah.
That's another inch on your dick.
Yeah.
Did Tina Fey go to NYU?
No.
Oh, somewhere in Chicago, bro.
She went to, I think she went to, like, University of Virginia or something.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. A nothing school. The fact that somebody is funny makes them more likely to get laid. Like, especially if they're unattractive. Like,
right.
Just me being a girl and having girlfriends, like, we'll go and, like, you know, especially when you're, like, younger, too. Like, if comedians wanted to be statutory rapists, like, they would fucking clean up. Because, like, when you're a 17-year-old girl, you go see, like, some fucking show, and there's this guy who's, like, totally, like, not hot, like, making jokes, and afterwards you're like, oh my god, he was, like, so cute, he's, like, amazingly cute, I want to sneak into his hotel room and, like, just give him a blowjob.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, yeah.
But it's, like, a comedian's of a certain level. Once they kind of make a living off
any
it.
Any comedians.
Like, any even, comedians?
Like, people, like, on, like, UCB, like, they're not famous, but, like, they're performing at Harold Night every week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, my friends would, like, come and visit in college, and we'd go see Harold Night, and afterwards, like, my friend would be like, oh my god, he's so hot, he's so hot, he's so hot, and it's like, no, they're not hot, they're funny, there's a difference.
I haven't had that experience at Flapper's Yoo-Hoo Room, you know. I haven't been assaulted.
Oh, weird.
It's weird, I don't know.
Yeah.
Girls, if you're out there, you want to come to a Yoo-Hoo Room performance, Flappers, and just all of a sudden go, oh my god, he's so hot because I was funny and sucked my dick. That, I mean, that'd be fine. Yeah.
When I was a kid, I was, like, I'm tall, so I was made fun of for being tall, and I'm also Eastern European, and none of my friends are Eastern European. They're all, like, German, Irish, beautiful, girl next door types. Like, growing up, like, everybody was like that. If I grew up in Manhattan, like, I had wanted, because I was born in New York, my parents were child abusers because they moved me to Florida for that reason alone. Great parents otherwise. Horrible child abuse for making your kid live in Florida.
Yeah, and didn't you report that several times?
I
to the point
nobody,
where the child services were like, stop calling the fact that you...
I don't understand.
You're like, I wasn't abused physically. They didn't hit me. Okay, I was abused locationally.
Yes.
Can someone get here?
I am trying, and that's my fight. You can go to my website, www.locationabuse.org. I'm trying to make it a thing and raise awareness for location abuse. You know, kids who have to grow up in North Dakota, South Dakota, West Virginia. You know, these places are location abuse.
Yeah.
Especially when your parents are Manhattanites.
Mm-hmm. You know who went to NYU? Judd Apatow.
I don't think he did.
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's another.
He's like roommates with Adam Sandler.
Another
that happened in New York because they weren't locationally abused, and that's why they're successful.
Exactly. Anyways, so I looked different from all my friends, and if I had grown up in, like, New York with, like, all, like, the Eastern European models running around, like, I would have been like, have a healthy body image, but I thought I was, like, so ugly, so tall, like, gross, like, nobody, you know, like, I just had, like, a different image of, like, how I actually, I mean, I still don't think I'm, like,
Is this part of what comedians go through?
Yeah, but, like, a lot of times, like, you know, you have to develop, you know, I developed my funny skills and my smart skills because I'm, like, my beauty skills are, like, not gonna cut it.
Right. You know? Me too. I feel like I was forced to develop a personality.
Yeah. Yeah, we were forced to develop personalities by not being beautiful. So, which is our
defense mechanism.
It's the bane of our existence. I would rather be beautiful and not have a personality.
Just seems like so much easier on the other side. It's having things come.
The grass is always greener West Hollywood.
Also informs the late blooming in the sexuality department, because that's not the emphasis. The emphasis is the personality and the comedy.
Nobody's going to want to take your personality out to a bar, get it drunk, take it home, have some fun with it for a night, and never call it again.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to want to do that.
No. If you have good looks and no personality, that's what you want to stick your whatever, you know how it works.
Yeah. That's the one that you're going to have adult relationships with. Mm-hmm. You can't do that to a soul.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can in later episodes of Damien Shadow's PI. There's some soul romance.
Soul fucking.
Yeah. Some, you know, relations with a ghost. Might happen.
Nice.
Heidi Fabulux, thank you so much for being a guest on Highway Diary.
Thank you for having me. I would like to point out that we are not in a highway.
Well, we're in a car.
We're in a car.
Well, I can see roads and stuff.
That counts.
Look, the first 17 episodes were on the road, on a road trip, and then this is all just me interviewing my, you know, comedian friends, so.
In a car.
In a car.
Still counts.
There you go. All right, ta-ta. What's up, everybody? I got Flappers shows Thursday, April 25th, and Tuesday, May 14th. Flappers Yoohoo Room. Check out ericollerbach.com. Screening and appearances for more details.
And I am going to be performing at Flappers as well at 7:30 p.m. on April 30th.
Wow.
And you should come.
Yeah. What's up, guys? It's Eric Collerbach. And I want to make a special little message to say I've talked a lot of shit on a lot of people and a lot of things and said some really mean stuff about people on this podcast. And I just want to say in general, I'm trying to be entertaining and that's what's going on here. So if I've offended people on this podcast, that's not the intention of what I'm trying to do here. I'm just trying to talk crazy. That's the style in which I know how to communicate this art form, is crazy and insulting for all of the people that I've talked shit on. I'm just trying to understand things, and I understand the world via talking crazy shit on all of it. It's the only way I can get my head around it. I'm telling how I see it. Anyway, it's a long, rambling backpedal disclaimer, but it's how I feel. Yeah, we're the lowest common denominator podcast here on Highway Diary. That's why all my logos on Podbean look like a fucking insane person wrote it, because I'm crazy, alright? So, I'm not a credible source for any information about cancer prevention. Or any other thing. I'm basically an idiot. So now I'm at the only thing this idiot knows how to do is to talk crazy. So I'm gonna continue to do that. That's what I was given. This vindictive mind. So that's how I'm gonna use it. you know, I was raised in a crazy house, and what we did to teach each other about themselves is we would really say really mean things to each other, you know? Tell each other, I'm gonna tell you about yourself! That's how I was raised. And so, that's how I learned about the world, by telling the world about itself! So, you know. And I'm not highly educated. I'm not a doctor. I don't even have my master's in writing. I have a fucking... So I'm no expert on anything. So when I tell it about itself, that's from a limited education, my friend. But, you know, hopefully I tell things about themselves entertainingly. That's all I'm really going for. So, Trevor, entertainment podcast, not extremely informed podcast, okay? You're listening to the delusional ramblings of a paranoid idiot looking at the world and going, I don't know what you're about, so I'm going to tell you about yourself with not a lot of education and or research. But everybody, y'all better shine up your butt, clitorises, because it's just going to get worse from here. I guess there's just one more thing to say, and that is, that's another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag!